Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, and I got Kyle here with me. And actually, we took a break from Ephesians this week.
Yeah.
And we had a special multi-gen service. So as we move forward, we're going to kind of separate our multi-gen services out from the regular week-to-week services. So we will continue to have sermon series that we're going through month-to-month. Right now, we're in the middle of Ephesians, and during our multi-gen services, we're going to be actually taking breaks from that. And this year, we're going to be focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because Kyle said he had an interesting experience with the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about this week. So Kyle, would you like to share?
Yes. The fruit of the Spirit was patience.
No, it wasn't.
It was peace. Just checking to make sure you guys are on. They're both with P. I'm just checking to make sure. Hey, Brett, what are the fruit of the Spirit?
I think there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control.
And
there's one more.
I said it too slow because I was I was trying not to sing the song.
Gentleness. Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because Brett will be speaking on patience in a few months, but this past Sunday, I spoke on peace. So
yes, peace.
Kyle has a story about peace.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've experienced this. I know Damon and Brett, we've talked about this before, but our listeners, when you ask for something, or especially like, hey, Lord, I want more patience, I want more peace, I want more of this, and then you get put in situations where you get to see about applying it differently, right? So I haven't told you guys the whole story, but yesterday you saw like my tire was pretty flat. The AAA came out. So I'm like, the night before I went and put some air in it, I knew I had a nail. I saw it, and it's like, okay, I think I can make it through the day tomorrow. I'll get it taken care of tomorrow night. So yesterday morning, I'm like, I wake up, and I'm like, oh, it's actually gone down more significantly. So I'm like, man, putting more pressure in, I think it made the hole like get a little bit bigger and put more behind it. So I'm like, oh, I think it got it worse. So I'm like, well, I can drive to the FC, and then we had some meetings. Like in the middle of the meetings, if it's getting worse, I can just call AAA if I have to. So had one meeting. I went out to check it, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's getting worse. So I'm like, I'll just call AAA. That's why I have it. It was awesome. I don't know. I've always done it on the phone before. And it's like such a hassle. You're waiting for somebody to come on, this and that. You just do it online. You go to their website and you just type in all your stuff, and it's like,
oh wow,
dude, it was.
You don't even need to do that. If you have the app, you can just request
AAA app?
Yeah.
What?
Oh my god.
Man, I gotta step up. So anyway, I was doing it during our meeting. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna get on the phone and interrupt our meeting. So I was just doing it and still in the meeting. But anyways, the guy shows up like 20 minutes later. It's all done. I'm like, perfect. I leave. I go pick up one son, get him home. Then after a little time, I drop him off at soccer practice, go to get the other son. So I go pick up Eli, and I'm like, okay, we pick him up. We're on the way home, and we're talking, we're chatting about 2/3 of the way home. We're not maybe a mile from home. Well, some starts getting loud, like a loud rumble. I'm like, what? I'm like, where's that? There's one car next to me, and he goes by, and I'm like, it's not changing. He's already by me. I'm like, I start slowing down, and then the noise starts changing. I'm like,
oh, gosh.
Oh crap, that's me. Like, pull over to the side. Eli, open your door. Look at that tire we just put on. And he goes, oh, it's totally flat. And so my spare went flat.
Oh man.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, the part that was hard was I had to go pick up Ezra within 30 minutes or about 35 minutes. I'm like, Mimo's at work. She hasn't left yet. Oh, dude. Okay, well, I got the old tire still in the back of my truck. It still had air when he took it off, so let's put that on and let's see what happens. So we're on the side of Bellflower Boulevard. Luckily, it's a part that's really wide. There's no cars parked. All right, Eli, you got to learn how to change a tire. So, you know, we're out there doing it, and he's like, oh, this is kind of fun. And he had a great attitude about it. I thought, he's like, oh, man, I've been at school all day. I just had practice. I just want to get home. And that's what I was expecting. And he was making the best of it. And he actually was really, really good attitude. And even for myself, I'm like, I felt tension and pressure that I got to get this done. I got to go pick up Ezra. Otherwise, I mean, I can't even jog home probably that fast and get on a bike and go over to get him. I'm like, what am I going to do? So we get the tire off, put it on, we lower it, and it's like, it's sagging pretty far. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if this is going to make it or not. But all all along, I feel good inside. I there's tension, but I had peace. I mean, it was weird. Like, I usually I'd be like really, I could feel the anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. inside. I could feel a different type of feeling. And I actually thought of the message from Sunday. I'm like, this is like peace in the storm. Like, the storm didn't go away. It was like still happening, but this feels different. So Eli and I drive over. I nurse it over to Costco. We're not that far from the Lakewood Costco. So we make it in there, but then we get there. My thought is, well, air up the tire. I'll go get Ezra. I'll drop him off at home, and then I'll go back and we'll get it fixed. We get there, put the thing on. It won't air up. So then Eli reads on there, oh, if it's less than 15 pounds of pressure, it won't air. I'm like, oh, it's for sure less than that. I'm like, man, now what? So call Mimo. We got an issue. Are you still at work? Yeah, I got a few things and I'll leave. I'm like, I think you need to leave now. Can you do that from home? Yeah, I can do that. I'm like, I told her what happened. And even in her voice, I felt like she had a stressful day, I could tell. But it was good, and she did it. And by the time we all got home, it was not a fun day, not an easy way to end your day, but as a family, we all had a lot of peace. There's understanding. It was like, yeah, just make the best of it. And I attributed some of it to just being aware of what peace is like. Mm-hmm. We just talked about that 2 days before. So, I'm glad it's over. I got my tire fixed last night. Anyways. So that was peace in the storm. The storm was still there, but internally, me, Eli especially, Ezra even being kind of late getting picked up, just a few minutes. I mean, he had a good attitude. Mima had a good attitude. It was a peaceful situation that really shouldn't be that peaceful.
I've had a few of those. And
have you had two flats in one day or two?
I mean, I've had on two separate occasions, for a retreat, one for serving at a camp, I've had the transmission blow on two different vans.
What?
On the freeway or on the side of the mountain. And so I've had to, one time I think I waited for AAA for, I want to say it had to be more than 3 hours when I was on the side of the mountain. And the other one I had, well, in both cases, there was at least five people in the car, including me.
Shoot.
And so one of them, other cars, we were going first because I was part of the leadership team. And so we were going to go early to set up and have everything ready before everybody else came. So we had to wait some for other cars to come to pick up, like one car pick up one person, one car pick up one person, and one person stayed with me just so that the rest of the team could go up there.
Right, right.
The other one, we didn't even know if we were going to make it or what was going to happen because I was, we got stuck in the city of Gorman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's like one little lake there, and there's like that one was pretty wild.
It's right at the top of the pass, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's like nothing in that city. I think we sat at McDonald's for, I don't know how long, we saw like two shift changes. And by the time we got up to camp, it was like midnight, and we had left at like pretty early in the morning.
So looking back at those situations, did you have peace in them or?
Well, okay. I think, I don't know, I would say half.
Mm.
Because part of it was more of a concern for other things. For me and the people in my car, I had peace. And I think the interesting thing for me is I normally struggle with like an internal peace for myself. But when I'm put in a situation where I have to think about others and like something needs to be done, like all of that, most of the time, all of that anxiety or worry or stress like goes away. And I'm like thinking outside of myself. And so I'm actually at peace, but I'm just trying to what I can. Yeah, right. For sure. So for that one, I had my wife in the car with me, but then also three younger girl cabin leaders, and I could tell that they were kind of like what do we do like I could tell they were a little like freaking out,
rattled. Yeah.
And so I mean, thankfully my dad has shown me certain things, so like, you know, popping the hood, checking this, doing this, you know, checking for different leaks. Like I didn't feel ill prepared, but also it was like, oh, this is a way bigger issue than like we're just overheating or something. Right, something's wrong. And so we need to like get to the next exit. Mm-hmm. And so we barely made it to the next exit. And I think that's where my mind and being analytical and whatever, I just start thinking of like, okay, what are all the ways that we can make this work, or is it possible, or do all these? And so it's hard to qualify it as peace.
Yeah.
I think that's the next step for me is stepping into and identifying having peace rather than like things are just like okay. Mm-hmm. Like I think I'm good at getting to that place where like things are okay, but it's like actually stepping into the peace that God has, or stepping into that part of the fruit that I'm like, I'm not, I would like to say, I was at peace, but I don't think I can 100% confidently say that it was fully peace. But some of those situations were pretty wild.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it. I thought one other tidbit was as we were pulling into Costco parking lot, like I said something like, oh, we made it. And then Eli just goes, yeah, I've been praying the whole time on the whole drive that we're going to make it here. I'm like, oh, good for you. I mean, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to give him a response, but I thought, oh, wow. Like he didn't act like stressed or anything, but internally he was still engaging with the Lord. So I'm like, oh, good for you, man. That's awesome.
And I will throw this out there. I mean, knowing you, you may want to abuse it, but you might not. If you ever stuck in that situation, you can give me a call too. I'm pretty close, so I could have picked up Ezra or whatever you need.
Yeah,
so.
I know there would have been other avenues. If Mima would have been like, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I would have checked my dad or checked the other people too.
For sure.
And I know the coach would have brought him over to Costco because it's not that far away. But I was at the same time. It's like, okay, I want to try all my options and see if I can handle it. But yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
We had an experience a little bit, I mean, it was different, but a little bit like that. This past year, we went to the Hollywood Dodgers tournament in Vegas, and overnight, our car got broken into, and so one of the windows got smashed, and we had two tournament games that day, and then the next day, we were going to have to drive home, and so it's like, oh, shoot, what am I going to do? It all worked out, but then I remember specifically one of the other parents, when we told them what happened, they came up and said, wow, you seem like really calm. I would be freaking out right now. You seem pretty calm. And that kind of struck me too, because I don't know if I necessarily felt that calm, but then what other people were seeing was that, right? Mm-hmm. And definitely was doing a lot of praying in that scenario because, you know, it's an unfamiliar location that's hundreds of miles away from home, not wanting to, you know, have to drive home the next day with no window, not knowing what's open because it was on the weekend. So not knowing what was open, you know, looking around to try to find different places that would fix the window. And a lot of them were either really expensive or they were not open or available till Tuesday or Wednesday. And yeah.
And everywhere you park, your car is vulnerable now because it's not fully like locked up.
Yeah, so just all of those things, but you know, things worked out. We found someone that actually came out to the tournament to fix the window at the game and everything. So, yeah, everything worked out. But yeah, one of the other parents was like, "You seem so calm right now." So I was like, "I think, in a sense, I was able to experience the Lord's peace in the midst of that crazy situation." Because, yeah, it was a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the piece really didn't come out until I put the other tire back on. Cause in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to work. It'll get me to where I need to be and it'll solve my problem. There was a little bit of like, oh, is there going to be peace here? Cause I put it on and with it starting to sag, now what? But that was the moment of, okay, are you going to sit in peace, or is it going to be like now anxiousness and all this other stuff? I think the level of peace diminished a little bit, but I wouldn't say it went away. So yeah, I want to be honest with everybody. It wasn't just all like, oh, everything's perfect. I'm so happy right now. Yeah.
Well, so if you haven't noticed, this week we talked about peace as the fruit, one of the fruit of the, well, actually or, there is only one fruit of the spirit,
or
but
or,
a characteristic
of patience too. I don't know. They both start with P. I don't remember.
Well, Brett will be speaking on patience in a few months, so look forward to that. But this this week we talked about one of the characteristics, and I got a chance to share, and I got a chance to do it with my son. Woo-hoo! Which was really cool. And one thing that I thought was pretty special about it was that in the midst of, there was quite a few different moving parts and a few different technical difficulties and things that didn't go exactly the way that we planned. It didn't seem that he was phased at all.
Yeah.
So it seemed like he was experiencing peace in the midst of some of these little tiny storms that were going on. But
right.
I was really proud of him for that because, yeah, sometimes at home, that's not how it is. So at least he was able to experience what we were talking about in the middle of when we were talking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So as I was prepping for the sermon last week, there were a couple of things that actually came to mind that I didn't have time to put in. So I thought we could talk about a couple of them today on the podcast. And Kyle was saying, that's one of the cool things about having a podcast is that we can bring in the speakers and they can have a chance to talk about some of the things that they didn't have time for. Yep. And so I thought this is a good opportunity for us to do that. So one of the things that came to mind was, since we are talking about fruit of the Spirit, I was doing some research and I was looking in, and what kept coming to mind was a story that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. And if you're not aware of what that is, I guess we can read it, but to sum it up, it's the story about the vine and the branches. So this is starting John 15, starting in verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." So when I would read that, those verses, a lot of times when it wouldn't make sense to me, the "you could do nothing," right? It says, apart from me, you could do nothing. And I was like, that really didn't, I don't know. There was something in there that didn't resonate with me well. And so that was actually a question I wanted to bring to you guys. What do you guys think about that? When Jesus says, apart from me, you could do nothing, how does that sit with you?
Off the dome, how are we going to do this, Brett?
I thought you were going to bring the answers because you're the one.
Yeah, we're just going to comment.
Yeah, I thought you were giving sermon series part two.
No, this is why I didn't put it in the sermon either, because how am I going to ask all these people these questions? So I wanted to ask you guys.
I mean, without going and digging into the wording of it, my initial thing is, it's apart from me, you can do nothing significant or of eternal significance, or that more of that line. I mean, I think it's obviously we can still live without Christ. I mean, we're still breathe, and like non-believers still believe, you know, breathe and still live. So it's not that you can't do nothing, but it's, there's more of like a qualitative thing for him that it's, yeah, I don't know if it's nothing significant or nothing eternal, of eternal value or something like that.
I agree. It kind of gives me the sense of like, you won't be able to do or fulfill like your purpose if you're not like aligned with Jesus. Like you're going to be able to do stuff, but kind of like you're saying, the qualitative part of like, well, what does it amount to if it's not aligned with him or in him? When it's in him, you know, there's the fruit, there's the things that come with it. But when it's not, then it's like,
yeah,
kind of like quote unquote nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think for me, when I was reading it this past time, it was actually, it felt different than what I had read it before, because like I said before, I would read it and I'd say, that doesn't sit right. But I think this time I was connecting it more to the bearing fruit portion, especially since I was preparing for a sermon on fruit of the Spirit. And so when he says, you could do nothing, I was thinking of tying it to actually bearing the fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And saying, apart from me, you cannot bear the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if we're talking about fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, apart from him, we're going to strive to do those things, but we're not going to experience what they actually are. Mm-hmm. We, you know, so like one of the images that we talked about in the sermon was, you know, I had my cousin Terrence calling, and he was trying to show pictures of what an orange is, right? And then Dylan came up and said, you know, those pictures, you'll never know what a real orange is with just pictures. You have to have it in your hand. You have to be able to peel it. You have to be able to taste it to know what a real orange is. And so when I read this verse now, I think of it more in terms of that. Like, the world gives us these images of what these things are, of what love is, of what joy is, of what peace is, of what patience is. The world has its own definitions, but that's only an image of what it really is. Mm-hmm. And we can strive hard to try to do those things better, but without Christ, we're not going to experience what they really are. That's how I read it this past time. And I thought it was pretty different for me because, yeah, originally I was thinking of it in terms of like, does that mean I can't live my life without you? Or, you know, like, what aspects of it do nothing? But then I think he was highlighting to me the relationship between the bearing fruit portion.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good because, you highlighted that apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm looking at that, just trying, what does that mean? But then really that's taking it out of context. So you have to have the first part of the verse, like, which is what you were describing, remaining. So like in NIV, it says remain in me instead of abide. Remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So then if it's talking right before that about bearing much fruit, apart from me, you can do nothing, or there's mm-hmm. no bearing of fruit. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. So, yeah. Brett's still in deep thought, so we're going to let him stay there.
No, I was just reading it again. And not to prolong the going to more verses, but I think part of it is also like, in verse 8, I'm just jumping down. Mm-hmm. It ends up saying like, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Part of the remaining in him and bearing the fruit is like that cyclical, like, then you're bringing glory back to God, the one who is divine. And it's like this cycle of remaining in him and you're bearing fruit, and then the fruit glorifies God, and mm-hmm. then it just like continues. So yeah, if you're apart from that, you kind of don't fall in that cycle, and then therefore, I mean, the second part of it says, and so prove to be my disciple, then it's like also part of that, like, you're not knowing God then if you're not able mm-hmm. to live out and bear the fruit that he has for you or for us.
Yeah, I think in that sense, I afterwards I did feel not regret, but I felt like there was a missed opportunity in my story about going to Vegas in when the other parent said, oh, you seem so calm. Like, afterwards I felt like, oh, I could use this as an opportunity to say, well, it's because of Jesus, or, you know, like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. as an opportunity just to say where that peace comes from. Mm. And I didn't take advantage of it. So there, like I said, not that I felt guilty, but I was like, oh, I missed an opportunity that I could have pointed her to where that sense of calm or that peace mm-hmm. came from. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, when I was reflecting on it, I was like, oh, that was kind of teed up for me right mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, if I were to do that, it's like, oh, she was recognizing there is something different. Mm-hmm. Now I just need a pointer to why, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do think when we are really experiencing what the fruit of the Spirit are, mm-hmm. people will notice because it's different. It's countercultural. It's not the way that people normally experience things.
Yeah, and people want it, mm-hmm. right? The fruit, people want the fruit. They don't necessarily want, you know, my wife and I, we have lemon trees and orange trees in the back, and, you know, people want the fruit from it. They don't want, hey, I got some branches you want to help me cut down? No, I want the actual lemons, or I want the... And so I think that is something for us to identify of, you know, when people are asking us, yes, it is a part of the examples that we're setting, but to be able to relay to them like why that is a small, subtle way, but I think can be an impactful way to point them to Jesus.
Okay, so this is off the dome for you. I remember when you were preparing for your message, I just heard you use it. It's the singular plural thing. Do you want to jump into that? Because it's the fruit singular, but are plural. And then
I talked about that at the beginning of the podcast.
You did?
I did. I said there's one fruit with many characteristics.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't go into like how that's the wording is. It's both, right? They don't match in our English language.
Yeah, in our English language, it doesn't.
Come on, man! Like I'm trying to help you. Like you brought this up to me last week.
Yeah, in our language, it doesn't necessarily match, right? Because a lot of times we would think it's supposed to be the fruits of the Spirit are, right? Because there's all of these different characteristics. So there's a variety of them. There's more than one. So it should be plurals. But in the writing and in the word, it says the fruit of the Spirit is. And then it says all of these different things, right? And I think it's pointing to there's just one fruit. But a lot of times what we try to do is we try to say, oh, I need more peace. I need more patience. I need more love. And we try to single it out.
Right, right.
But the Lord wants to give us all of it in one shot, not just individual pieces of it. And I think that's really what he wants us to experience. He wants us to experience the fullness of it and not just parts of it.
There we go. Now you got to where I wanted you to go.
But I think too.
No, because I don't think we see it that way enough, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. We do try to segment it. Oh, now I need more patience. Now I need more of this. It's like, I just need more of the Spirit. And then when I have more of the Spirit, then the right stuff's going to be there and the right stuff's going to come out.
I was thinking about that because I was seeing if that makes sense. I was just checking, like, when someone says, hey, do you want some fruit? There can be multiple different fruits, though, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not necessarily asking in a plural sense. Well, okay, that's besides the topic. But I was just thinking about what you're saying. But yeah, I think that is a good thing to remember, because also even as I'm slowly starting to prepare to when I share, like a lot of the characteristics that we talk about, patience, self-control, peace, like they're very closely intertwined, right? Like, you know, you're joking about, oh, we had a thing about patience and it's about peace. But a lot of times, if you don't have patience, do you have much peace?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. If you don't have much self-control, how often are you kind or gentle? Right. Like they're pretty intertwined. And so even in that sense, we may be thinking, oh, I just need to ask for more patience, or I just need to be asking for more peace, or I need to be, you know, these certain things. But in the reality is like, yeah, more of the Spirit will provide us with all of those things. And because some of them go hand in hand in a lot of situations, or just the way we carry certain things out, you don't just need one, as most of us would like to think so. Because I fall guilty to that. I'm always like, man, my patience is wearing thin. I need more patience. But there's like a lot of other things that can help supplement or hand in hand with the thing that I think I need.
Right, right.
Right. And so it's a good thing to keep in mind that, you know, yeah, it's just more of the Spirit and God will help provide the things that you need.
So Kyle, when you said it was something that we talked about last week, I thought you were going to talk about, or you were going to ask me about how fruit is good for both parties, right? So for a tree, fruit is good for reproduction, right? Mm-hmm. Spreading its seed out to the world.
Yeah.
But for someone that's eating the fruit, it's good for food. It's good for flavor. It's good for, you know, so it's good for the tree that's that's giving the fruit. And then it's also good for the person that's receiving the fruit, right? There's more than one purpose for it. Mm. Right. And so I think that's also kind of in line with what Brett was talking about earlier, about how when we experience the fruit, we can be a witness to other people, right? And so experiencing the fruit is good for us, right? We get more love, joy, peace, patience in our lives. But then it's also good for other people as they see that and as they experience the love, joy, peace coming out of us too, and saying, wow, there's something different about that person. So when we seek the Lord and we are connected to his Spirit and the fruit is a byproduct of that, it's good for us because we get to experience more in our life, but then it's also good for the people that are around us because they're seeing it flow out of us into them.
And then, like Brett said, that circular thing where it glorifies God, then it goes back to that part too, where it can stop there where it's good for us, it's good for them. But then if we, connect the dots for that person, that it's from our connection with Jesus, from the Lord, then it actually goes back to the creator, the vine, you know. And yeah, no, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Another thing I think that it adds to too is showing like a plant that bears fruit has life, right? Like you can't get fruit from a dead orange tree or whatever, right? I mean, maybe you might get some moldy, squandered little oranges or what used to resemble an orange.
But even that would be a dying tree. It's not dead yet, right?
Yeah. And so to be able to get the fruit, like that's where like life is. And so many people these days, I think, need that or are looking for that or don't know that like that's actually what they need. Mm. And they search for all these other things that think will fill them up, but in reality, it's like only the life that Jesus gives, the Holy Spirit has for you is really what you need. And so I think that's what can also attract people. It's like there's something different. It's like just how they live their life or whatever, their aura, their spirit, the way that they're handling things is a good indication of the life that we're receiving from God.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're saying that, it makes me wonder, or it seems like the world offers like imitation fruit or something. Mm. So there's these ways that we can try to find peace or try to find patience or self-control. There's different mechanisms, which I would say are like plastic fruit or something. So they're out there, like, and it looks like, yeah, that's what I need, that's what I want. But then you get it and you're like, yeah, but this doesn't.
It's fruit extract.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There's some aspects that provide a little bit, but it's not sustainable, it doesn't last long or whatever, and then it fades, and it's like, now I need more, I need this and that. And so I think when there is genuine fruit of the Spirit that comes out, it is very different because that's not the world's offering, right? It's much deeper, it's more rich than what the world can provide.
And it's more natural, right? Because it flows out of us, right? So like a real fruit, like that's the most natural thing for a healthy tree or plant to do is to produce the fruit, right? But what you're talking about is like the artificial type fruit, which is either man-made or
bioengineered,
right?
It's like fruit roll-ups on a tree. Oh yeah, it's kind of like fruit, but it's not good for you. It doesn't last that long, gives you cavities.
But it comes from a lot of work, right? Yeah, like you have to work hard to produce that, right? Yeah. And I think that's one thing that separates the fruit of the Spirit apart from that type of fruit is it's not something that comes from striving. The fruit of the Spirit is not from striving to produce, I need to be more loving, I need to be more peaceful, I need to, right? But it's when we connect with the Spirit, then we receive it and then it flows out, right? And so the process is different.
It's a different type of work.
That's what I was going to say too. There's still work involved, but I think that's where people get hung up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily say it's work. I think it's more like we were talking about in terms of like a trellis, right? It's more setting up the structures in place so that we could flourish.
Okay, it's effort.
Yes.
It takes effort.
There's energy in it.
You got to do your part.
Energy
intentionality. There's
energy usage in it, but it's not striving.
Yeah, it's hard to describe that, right? Because all of those different words have like a loaded like meaning that comes from like the striving perspective, or most of them do. And so they're all kind of true, but yet it's not from that same mindset. It's like, you willingly want to do it because you want more depth, you want more of that full richness of the fruit, but it doesn't just plop up on its own, right?
I mean, it's like when people play a sport, right? Like, when they're out there playing and they're having fun, they're expending energy, but it's different than when they're like working out, or, you know, like it's different than when they're like, if I'm playing basketball and I'm playing in a basketball game and it's fun, that feels different than when I'm just running lines to get in shape and conditioning, right? It's different. It's coming from a different place. Yeah. And there's still energy being expended. There's still mm-hmm. those things happening, but it looks different, experience different. You know, I'm going to look at the game as something fun. I enjoy it. And the running the lines can be like, oh, I got to do this again. Oh, I have to, right? And the experience of it's going to be different.
Could be. I mean, that one, even though it could be doing the lines, if you know that it's going to make the other part better, then there might not be that. But I know what you're getting at, but I know it's yeah, hard. Yeah. It's hard to get the right analogies without getting people off track. But yeah, no, there's different types of effort, work, whatever word you want to use, that are healthy and then that are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the biggest part that I had to recognize was like, it's just not something that's like majority my efforts or myself. Mm-hmm. Like I do need to do my part.
Yes.
But when
yes.
it's like, I'm going to make this happen and I'm going to produce this, it's like, that's when it's the work, the striving, the strain, and it's not what God intends, where it's like, yeah, maybe I do need to be more disciplined. And so that's going to take quote unquote work. Mm-hmm. But in my being disciplined, like it maybe feels like a lot, but if I'm really only doing, just to give random numbers, like 40%, mm-hmm. it's like trusting that, okay, God's going to take it the rest 60 and the fruit will come, instead of me like having to control it and trying to do it. And so for myself, I think just to try to have that mind frame of that weird in between of like, mm-hmm. okay, I need to put in some effort, or I need to set up certain structures or do certain things and be intentional with it, but I can't like then overdo it. Mm-hmm. And then now it's just me working, yeah, trying to have some type of performance, so right. to say, right? And so, I mean, that could be a whole nother podcast episode topic.
No, so what you're saying is it's kind of like messy grace. It's not I'm going to do it all, and it's not God is going to do it all, but it's how are we going to partner together yeah. to
exactly.
That's what I was going to say, partnership. Exactly. That's the word.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think a lot of it's posture, right? Mm. And the posture of, you know, I need to do this for myself, mm. or I need to put myself in a position where I allow the Lord to mm-hmm. to do it, and I put my faith in Him.
Yeah, or like God's inviting me to do this, and I mm-hmm. get to partner with Him. Yeah,
I gotta be careful when I come on some of these episodes before I share, or else I'm tempted. There's certain things where I'm like, if I go too far into it, it's gonna be very similar to some of the stuff that I'm sharing. But no, I agree. It is a lot about our posture.
It's a few months from now. Don't worry about it. It's just they're going to be like, wow, I think I've heard this somewhere before. This is good stuff.
You're giving a primer for they'll be ready for it. Otherwise, it's going to be too far out in left field. And
I know we got a little bit off where we thought we were going to go, but I think it's good, because I think, especially this being that first sermon series, or first of this sermon series of Fruit of the Spirit, I think it's good to go a little bit deeper in general terms of fruit, healthy fruit, a good approach to it. I think that's going to help our people as we go forward.
Okay, so kind of going back to, and it's kind of in line with what we were just talking about, but the idea of a trellis.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so if you think about it in as a gardener or as someone that's raising crops and, or like a vineyard person,
yeah.
right? The purpose of a trellis is to help the grapes or to grow the way that they're supposed to. It keeps them off the ground, but it gives them some structure, right? And so there is an aspect of, for us to flourish, we might need a little bit of structure in our lives to be able to, experience these things in their fullness, right? Without a trellis, you might have the vines all on the ground. They can be stepped on, trampled on. They're not growing up towards the sun. They're not being pointed in that direction. But there needs to be intentionality to put that trellis there,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for us in our regular spiritual lives, we might need some structures in place or be intentional about putting some of these things there to help us to be able to you know, flourish to our fullest capacity.
Yes.
But I think that's where I think sometimes, as you know, especially at our church where there is a culture of grace. Sometimes talking about things like intentionality or structure, sometimes those things come with such a negative perspective.
Mm.
When I think that there needs to be a healthy relationship between the two.
There needs to be someone to tell you, like, it's not okay if you don't read the Bible every day. It's not, you need somebody to do all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it can get so like shallow in some of those terms, mm. right? It's like, if our reading the Bible is coming out of obligation, well, then we don't want to read the Bible from that place,
mm-hmm.
right? So we, in that sense, it's like, yeah, if that's the only place that you're coming at reading the Bible is because of obligation or to check the boxes, there is good in reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. There is good, even if you're doing it that way. But that's not the heart that the Lord mm-hmm. wants us to have right. for that. So if that's a stronghold for you, then maybe there needs to be a season where you break away from that so that you can come at it from a healthy perspective. But that doesn't mean that we should go our whole lives and never read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think sometimes we go down those lines of like, well, we have grace, so we don't need to do that. But really, that's at our own expense too,
mm-hmm.
because we're missing out on the things that the Lord might have for us because we aren't being intentional about our spiritual formation, our spiritual growth.
Okay, so sorry, I was over here on my phone digging through stuff because when you said trellis, it just piqued my memory that my dad just built a trellis in his backyard. Mm. He's like, we call him Farmer Ron. He's retired. He loves his gardening. He's always coming up with new things he can do. So I'm gonna pass this picture around so you guys get to see it. I mean, it's like that's super pretty legit. Cool.
He did a good job.
So we went over there and saw it the other night, and we're like, "I want to see this." And when I got there, I was like, "Oh man, that thing's legit. It's like super good." So he knows he's gonna do cucumbers on one. He's gonna do green beans on another side of it. And he just got all these things planned out. But especially when you see it there, you're like, "Oh yeah, I mean, this totally makes sense." You only need the roots in a certain location. But from there, they can just go up this thing, and then they're going to get so much more sun exposure and all this other stuff. They're not going to be on the ground for animals to get to. They're not going to be trampled on. And no, it has a huge benefit to your productivity and the type, like the quality of your fruit. And so it took them effort to build it and all of that, but it's going to pay off in harvest season. But yeah, I mean, I think the trellis example is. It's phenomenal. And I think for us city folk, we don't think about gardening type examples that much. But like you were saying earlier, Damon, like their Bible's so full of the agriculture type examples that Jesus uses that sometimes they get lost in us because we don't appreciate the way that things grow and the care you need. And it, even taking those certain steps of like the vine, putting them up off the ground, it's the branches off the ground. And, it's immense the fruit you get later, but there's a lot of work along the way.
Yeah, I think with the intentionality and seeing that picture of the trellis, the thing that comes to mind is like a lot of times I think we get stuck on like, but then I'm going to have to do this, or okay, then that's going to require me to do this, or I'm going to have to sacrifice this. And while a lot of those things may be true, I think the perspective, like looking at it, like when I look at that trellis,
mm-hmm.
without even knowing and not being a green thumb or anything, mm-hmm. like when you see it, you're just like, oh, like, yeah, it's going to grow well on there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like this idea that it's really to set the plant or set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not like I'm doing this because I don't like myself, and so I need to change my ways, or right, I need to, right. It's more like the structures, the intentionality, the things that we put in place, it's really to actually set yourself up for success, mm-hmm. for the fruit. Otherwise, yeah, why would you be doing it? Why would the effort or the intentionality be worth it? It wouldn't, but mm-hmm. it's like, if there's certain things that God has for you and certain things are being set up for it, I think sometimes we have to ask our questions like, why are we like so hard-nosed or against some of these things that are supposed to set us up for the success or like for the fruit that God has for us?
Yeah. And I think that's part of why we're making some of these changes as a church, mm-hmm. and things like you know, with this multi-gen service, we're making some changes to the multi-gen service because we want to set up our all of our people for success, right? And we recognize that the past few years, we haven't really done that. You know, a lot of our sermons have been specifically more for the adults, and so some of the kids have gotten lost or they haven't been paying attention, which then they are squirrely, so then which makes it harder for the adults to pay attention to because they're distracted because the kids are all kind of going crazy a little bit. So, you know, we are making changes because we want to set everyone up for success. And
it's classes for the adults. It's other things that, yeah.
Yeah. So we are going through a season of just evaluating where we're at and some of the things that we've been doing and, you know, making some of the changes that we feel like are necessary for us to be able to help our people to be set up for success and to really reach their potential in who God created and called them to be.
So their fruit can grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's about it for this episode. One thing we do want you to look out for is, you know, like I said, my son was able to give the sermon with me this past Sunday. So Brett has an interview coming out with him later this week. So be on the lookout for that if you're interested to hear what he has to say. He does throw me under the bus a couple times, so if you want to hear that, you might want to check it out.
I'm definitely listening to that one.
I don't throw you under the bus to get that.
Yeah, so you. So
I bet you led Dylan into a certain way, so he automatically threw him under it.
It was an open-ended question, okay. And he took it a certain way.
Okay. But like I said, it's been really cool just to see him step into who I really feel like is more of who God made him to be. Mm-hmm. And I do recognize that as he was growing up, just some of the ways that the enemy was trying to steal that from him. And so as we prepared for the sermon and, you know, even in the midst, like I said, there were times where things didn't go the way that we expected them to, but he was able to experience peace in it. So yeah, I was very proud as a dad in that in that time. So
should be.
Yeah. I was just a real proud dad. So yeah. We will be continuing this series every multi-gen service, which is the first Sunday of the month, minus next month, because next month, if you haven't heard yet, we are moving locations and we will not be meeting on Sunday mornings at Stanford anymore starting April 7th. Mm-hmm. We will be at Mark Twain Elementary for the foreseeable future, probably till the end of the year around there.
Something like that.
Something like that. So be on the lookout for that. So we will have something different for the first one there because it'll be our first meeting at Mark Twain. But after that, for the rest of the year, we're planning on continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Yep. And you can look out for, I think we're going to have some special guest speakers in the May one. It's going to, as of right now, it's scheduled to be Robert and Nigel Harris. And I'm really looking forward to that. Yep. And then Brett is on deck after that, and he's already given a kind of a preview of what he's going to be talking about.
Yeah, I got to figure it out because you totally raised the bar for these multi-generational services.
I know he did, so man.
I'm like, I got to go get outside help. I got to make videos.
He had costume changes.
I know. I got to go get a scientist. And
he had stuff for the kids to do, activities.
Yeah, people coming out from the crowd participating. And yeah.
So it was good.
Well, like I said, we're trying to, in that service, engage the kids a little bit more so that, you know, the service is for all the generations. And that's why we've called it the multi-generational service, because it's not just for the adults and the kids are in there. Mm-hmm. But we want it to be a place where our whole church family can experience a whole service together as one church family and not just, you know, the adults go to their place, the kids go to their place, and sometimes we mix up. But this is an opportunity for one Sunday a month for our whole church family to get together, to worship together, to hear a sermon together, to worship again together, to experience ministry time together, to serve each other, to just be together for a whole service, and then have a meal after too. So you know, like I said, I don't take for granted that we have these opportunities because, you know, there's not a lot of churches that do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's unique and special about our church. And we want to raise the value on our multi-gen services. So that's what we try to do this past Sunday. And hopefully we're going to keep continuing down that line so that, you know, as a whole church family, we can continue to grow together. And this year, learn about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep, for sure.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.